Shavuot to everybody. Welcome to the official kickoff of the winter session, January the 12th. It's easy, by the way, this month, the Hebrew and English dates, Yud Beit Tevet. I understand, I saw an article yesterday, just very important to mention. Today is Kiss a Ginger Day, they call it, to celebrate the redheads in the world. Anybody who's a redhead becomes a friend of mine, so this is a very special day. Maybe you can't see anymore, my hair is not quite as red as it once was. Baruch Hashem, my wife, my kids, we're all fallen in Gingy, the 1% of the population. So, okay, that has nothing to do with anything.
I would have given it to David HaMelech.
I'm sorry, David HaMelech too? Yeah, of course. Okay. But anyways, yes, so please, we're looking for it. I think this week we have 9 or 10 classes. 2 new series are going to be starting Wednesday and Thursday, Zev Elif and Shuli Mishkin. And our regular continuing class, we have a few new series coming up. And please, like I say, invite at least one friend to join a class who hasn't come yet. That's really, that's our best way of advertising, our best way. And, so we'd appreciate it if you could do that. And so we're going to kick off. It works so well. We're starting Sefer Shmot this week. So Rabbi Liebtag decided we're going to rename the new series. It's going to be called Exodus. The book is better than the movie. And let's find out why. Rabbi Liebtag, bevakasha.
Okay. So I'll begin with my class explanation. Why the title and topic are two different things. The title is what people want to hear, and the topic is what the speaker wants to talk about. And the first couple of minutes of every class is how we go from title to topic. Now, my topic is basically trying to explain how, even though every book of Chumash has the theme that unites the entire book together, there's a mega theme tying all 5 books of Chumash together, which I think is important. It helps us understand each of the books. What I'm trying to show you, there's definitely a theme, a unique thing to Sefer Bereshit, but that theme permeates into the rest of the books of Chumash. So to end the series that we, like the last 10 classes, and to begin a new series, I'm going to trace how Brit Ben of Tarim, we're going to trace it into Sefer Shmot and Sefer Dvarim. It'd be really easy. But the theme behind the covenant, remember there were 2 covenants in Sefer Bereshit, Brit Ben of Tarim, Brit Milah that God made with Avram Avinu, which each one sounds like a standalone. They definitely merged together in Sefer Shmot, and their themes merged together, and we have to trace how those themes of those covenants are help us explain what happens in each of the books and why each book has a unique theme, but what ties all of them together. So what I want to do first is a quick review of the 2 covenants we discussed in Sefer Bereshit, and that'll take us right into Sefer Shmot. And the first thing I want to focus on is going to be what's a little strange about Brit Ben HaBetarim. When people read Brit Ben HaBetarim, the covenant of the parts, it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. It seems like something predicting the future, something strange, you know, cut up animals, promises of redemption, promises of suffering, etc. But I want to tie that together to a mega theme of Chumash and see what we started last week, the theme behind it, and show how it takes it into Sefer Shmot. So let me share my source sheet, which you should all have by now. And I have to share my screen. Oh, I actually have my, okay, I'll use this mouse. It's fine. And here we are. Okay. So the official source sheet is number 11 on the old series, number 1 on the new series. We just have to drop to 10 for next week and we'll be number 2 for the new one. Okay. Tracing Brit Ben HaBetarim from Sefer Shmot to Dvarim. So we've been focusing on the 2 covenants with Avram Avinu, how they shape our future. We're going to trace the subtribe of those covenants in Shmot and Dvarim, and show the thematic connection between all 5 books of Chumash we just talked about. And we're going to review both covenants just to make sure what they share. And the 2 things they share is what we call Zera and Aretz. It's a big theme in Sefer Bereshit. You can't miss it. God's promising Avram Avinu, he'll have offspring and he'll be getting the land. If I want to summarize, I think the key point, the thematic point I try to make, these promises are not reward, rather their purpose, more so. If God is going to bless Avram with seed, with offspring, and he's going to bless him with the land, they're not the goal, but they're the vehicle through which we accomplish the goal. The goal is going to be a nation representing God, what's called Yot Lechel Elohim. God's going to begin an eternal relationship between a people and a God forever. And that relationship will have a purpose, which will affect all nations. Hopefully that nation will have an impact on other nations. But to become a nation, you need people. To become a nation, you need the land to start that nation. And therefore, God's beginning promise, I'm going to make you a goy gadol, a great nation, and then immediately you're going to have children and going to conquer the land, etc. Those promises are vehicles, are going to facilitate the goal coming true. Why is that so important? because if we're going to trace Jewish history, its ups and downs, always have to keep those goals in mind. When we're going to see all what happens in Sefer Shemot, everything will relate to that goal of how we become a nation, why we become a nation, why we're getting laws, why we're different than the other nations, how we're similar, etc. And now, without going into the two names for God, but that's a tool Chumash uses to explain the complexity of our relationship with God. Remember, Chumash has two stories of creation, Shem Elokim, Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. And parallel to that, we have two covenants with God and Avram Avinu, Brit Milah v'Shem Elokim. And that was so parallel to Brit Keshet. We spent a whole shiur or two on that. But if I want to highlight the main theme of Brit Milah, just to make sure we have it clear, God's name, remember, was El Shaddai in the introduction. Avram has to behave, walking with God, being perfect or trying to perfect himself. It's a key phrase of establishing a covenant. A brit olam means an eternal covenant. And the key covenant was, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. And that's going to be the key theme of Chumash. All through Chumash, we say it up throughout davening. That's a good text out of Egypt. Hashem Elokeinu. I mean, we have a relationship with God is one of a employee, not one of a consumer, but the idea that he's our God and we're his people and we're chosen for a purpose, that's going to be established through a covenant in Brit Milah, which relates to nature itself with God's name Elohim in creation. And then God promises Abram and his Zerah after him the land that he's sojourning in, the land of Canaan, for eternal Achuza. And there, that can facilitate God becoming our God and we becoming his people. And the old Brit for that would be circumcision. So that was Brit Milah in a nutshell. And then we have the theme of Zerah V'aretz also in Brit Ben Abtarim. We talked about the two conversations in Brit Ben Abtarim, which is the first dialogue between God and Avram Avinu. First, he promises Zerah, promises offspring, which catches Avram by surprise. And God takes him outside. Remember, it shows him who's going to inherit him. We talked about the word Yerusha in the last year. And God takes him outside. Count the stars. He says, "Ko yezarecha like kochvei hashamayim." Remember that phrase. Count the stars, usfar to kochavim, and your offspring that you're going to have, not your own, but that your great great grandchildren, etc. They'll be like the stars in the sky, and then God continues with the promise of land. And when God's opening statement, "Don't worry," Abram thought, "Not worry about having children, and God will protect you." It becomes clear now when God said, "Don't worry," because the children I'm promising you have what to worry about, because before they get the land, the Rishtah, to conquer and to establish a nation, they need to go through years, or decades, I don't say even centuries, of suffering in someone else's land. That was our topic last week. We tried to suggest the reason why it was necessary, this type of basic training of a nation in our collective memory of our suffering. So we remember that, and that's going to affect our behavior. So that was Brit Ben Abtarim, just the key ideas of Brit Ben Abtarim. Number one, promising offspring of what do you call it? Of Kochochvei Hashamayim. That'll be a buzzword for Brit Ben Abtarim. And then in the land, the word Yerusha, conquest of the land. Avram's question, how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. We talked about the korbanot symbolized by the covenant, where Avram takes those animals, which later become the sacrifices, and cuts them in half, and that's going to be the ancient ceremony for entering a covenant. And then God forecasting, he needs to know that before they conquer the land, there'll be strangers in someone else's land. There'll be, see the word inui, we have the word to know, we have ger, stranger, in someone else's land. Vavadum, there'll be slavery. Inuotam, there'll be oppression. Okay, there'll be a long period of time. And then I'm going to punish your oppressor. You'll leave with Gen Rechush Gadol. Remember that phrase. It won't be in your lifetime. Four generations come later without getting into the, we have time. We'll talk about the 400 years, 430, and the time frame of whether this line of 400 is a footnote in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu or whether that's what God told Avram Avinu. And then the big line at the end, on that day, Avram established a brit with, God established a brit with Avram Avinu that he's promising the land to his children, the Zarecha Natati Tar Sezot, and the borders now, way wider than Canaan, remember, from Mesopotamia to Egypt, or from the Nile River in Egypt, or basically the area of the society in Egypt, to society in the Fertile Crescent and the Nahr Prat, not that we conquer up to those borders, but up to the land that's centered around those borders, and those were the ancient centers of civilization, Nahr Mitzvah and Nahr Prat. So that was our review. And then we'll go back to these psukim later on. They come together in the story of the Exodus, where we talk about the four cups. God will take us out. Pasuk Vav was these three, was fulfilling Brit Ben Abtarim, taking out of Egypt and redeeming you. And then Har Sinai was fulfilling Brit Milah. I'll take you to be my people. Vayiti lechem Elohim. And then they come together. Then you know I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, right? From that suffering to bring you to the land, which you'll get now as a Morasha. Now I want to focus on one line here. Vayiti lechem el haaretz. I'll bring you to the land, which I lifted up my hand to give to you, to give to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and I'm going to give it to you as a Morasha. I want to talk about gifts for a second. Holiday Hanukkah is over. We can talk about giving gifts. When it says that God's giving you the land, how do you understand that? Someone tells me, when somebody gives you something, what's that usually imply? If I'm giving you something,
it's now yours.
It sounds like it's like ownership, passing something belonging to God, that belongs to us. I want to show you that can't be, because we'll see all through Chumash, the land belongs to God the whole time. Sometimes you give someone an assignment, or you give someone a responsibility, you give someone a job to do. That's not transferring ownership. That's charging a destiny. And what I want to show you, over and over again, when God says, I'm giving you the land, he's going to give us an opportunity to establish a nation in the land, but he's not giving us the land in the sense of ownership. He'll be giving us the land in the sense of destiny and challenge. I want to prove that in our share today, which will be important to understand the rest of Chumash and the rest of Navi. So pay attention to that phrase again. It will come up a lot. Asher nasati et yadi. Let me share my screen again. I'm sorry. Back to my source sheet. There we go. What did God say? Asher nasati. I'll make it bigger here. It's too big. Okay. I'm going to bring you to land. Asher nasati et yadi letetota. To give it to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I'm going to give it to you as a morasha, that's to get the rusha, as an inheritance, as conquest. And see the phrase again, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem is going to come up. We'll start it maybe today. Next week, sure, that'll be the introduction to the main part of Sefer Shemot. Now I need to prove to you that conquering the land, which is going to be a theme in Shemot and Dvarim, how much it relates to Brit Ben Abtarim. So all I need to do now is go to the opening lines, which you should be familiar with from Sefer Dvarim. Okay. Remember, Moshe has his first speech, chapters 1 through 4 in Sefer Dvarim. We have the opening lines where the narrator in the first five lines introduces Moshe's first speech. And every Yarden in the land of Moab, Moshe begins giving the speech, saying, listen to Moshe's opening line in his speech. And look how it's echoing Brit Ben Abtarim. Remember, Am Yisrael in the 40th year is standing on the banks of the Jordan River, about to cross it to begin conquest of the land, to conquer it. Moshe giving leadership over to Yeshua, giving him that last challenge. And listen how Moshe begins his speech. Hashem Elokeinu, sounds familiar? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, our boss. Brit Milah, okay? Diberi Leinu B'chorev Leimor, told us in Har Sinai, you've been here long enough. That was a year in Har Sinai was enough. Pnu Sulachem, it's time to move on. And travel to go where? To go the Amorite mountain, which is the main mountain range of Israel, from Beersheba all the way up to Shechem, and its bordering area, the Arava, the Har Shefela, all the different geographical areas of Israel, the land of Canaan, up to Lebanon, all the way to Nahar Gadol, Nahar Prat. Again, when I have the word Nahar Prat, that's going to be echoing Brit Ben Abtarim. That was the borders of Brit Ben Abtarim. And now look at the key verse, which I want to make a big deal about. Re'e, understand, okay? Natati lechem lifnechem et haaretz. I'm giving you the land, which means I'm not giving you as ownership. I'm giving you the challenge to conquer it. Vo urshut, it's your job now to conquer the land, which God promised Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov to give it to them and their offspring afterwards. I want to highlight again that God's giving us of a challenge. He's not giving us property, not ownership, but rather a challenge to establish a nation. And I want to prove it now, as we'll quote from Sefer Yeshua very soon. Then he goes on a tangent. Where Moshe says, I can't lead you all myself. I need help, etc. Remember, Echasa Labadi, we know from, we learned this on before Tisha B'Av. Then he says, Hashem Elokechem Hirbaitchem, Bintchem Ayom Kochvei Hashemayim Larov. Moshe says, nowadays, in the 40th year, you were numerous like Kochvei Hashemayim. So Moshe again is referring to Brit Ben Ptarim. We're about to fulfill Yerushat Haaretz. It's just pointing out all the green. It's pointing out all the key phrases of Brit Ben Ptarim. We traveled from Chorev, where we got to Torah. We'll go back to that theme in our series on Shemot. And we went through the whole great desert, like you saw, Har Moriah, etc. But Nevelat Kadesh Barnea, we came, that's where we sent the spies from, to conquer the land. And then I said, time you came to Har Moriah, which God commanded you, which Hashem commanded to give to us, again, the word Noten Lanu, should have been blue. Rein, Natan Hashem, Lefinechem, Et Haaretz. Ale Resh, see the word again, Yerusha. Go and conquer, as God, I've told you, don't be afraid. Now I need to show you that, I want to prove that from Yeshua, that God's giving us an opportunity. He's not going to do it for us. He'll do it with us. Look what happens in the book of Yeshua. Right? Look how Sefer Yeshua begins. I want to prove to you from Yeshua, God's giving us an opportunity that we have to do ourselves. He's giving us a challenge. But again, Moshe after Moshe dies, the first chapter of Yeshua, Eved Hashem, and God tells Yeshua, Moshe Avdi met, now, Atakum Avorte Yarden, you and the people, Asher Onochi Noten Lifnei Yisrael. Again, I'm giving you the land. Wherever you go, I'll be there with you. Koma Koma Asher, wherever you go, I'll fight with you. Notice, you have to take the steps, but I'll do it with you. Lechem Netativ, like I told Moshe. And then we have the borders from the Midbar Levanon, the Nargadon Har Prat, Eretz Achitim, etc. No one will get in your way if you, what do you call it? If you go somewhere, everywhere you fight, God will be with you, like I was with Moshe. Chazak ve'amatz, we need that for sure, right? Because you, Yeshua, you're the one who's going to give them the nachalot as well. You'll help them inherit the land, which God promised Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And here's the key line, Pasek Zayin. We'll go back to this in Shemot. Rach chazak ve'amatz, lishmor l'hatul kol ha-torah, asher tzivcha Moshe, avdi, lo tosri b'nusmo. Make sure to keep the Torah, which I taught Moshe Rabbeinu. We taught you, don't go left or right. Leman taskil b'chol asher t'lech, so you're successful everywhere you go. The famous line, lo yimush sefer ha-torah mipicha, v'yikit yomam v'layla, study Torah all the time. So you know how to keep these laws. Ki az tatzlech et rachach v'az taskil. If you want to be successful in conquering the land, you have to be ready and worthy and eager and dedicated to keep the laws of the Torah. Now, let me stop this share for a minute. What I want to show you is that part of preparation for conquering the land is not just military preparation, it's spiritual readiness to take the challenge of being God's people. It's, God didn't make a promise of real estate to Avraham Avinu, oh, you're going to be, you were such a great man, I'm promising your offspring this great land, and it's all yours. God, again, that's what makes such a big deal about it. God wants a nation to serve him forever. The land of Israel will be a tool through which he can facilitate that. We can see over and over again, the land always belongs to God. He gives it to us on the condition we do a good job serving him. The theme that repeats itself over and over again in Chumash, if we do a bad job, God will send us into rehab, not forever. Ultimately, we have to return, and we might go out again and return again, but the land belongs to God. God's giving us the land as a tool to facilitate our goal as a people. And we'll see this, and therefore that condition that God's telling Yeshua, on the condition you keep the Torah and follow its instructions properly, then I'll help you conquer the land. And therefore, military preparation of the to conquer the land includes teaching the Torah. And therefore, what does Moshe do on that 11-day journey from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea before he sends the spies? He teaches them the laws of Sefer Dvarim. That's the opening lines of the book. We repeat it over and over again. Meaning, part of military preparation is also religious preparation, to be ready to understand the laws, to keep them, and be dedicated to watching them. And that'll be a mega theme we'll see in Dvarim. We'll see, but it'll be only alluded to in Shemot, but it'll be important. Now, here's the big question.
They also have to make a Brit Milah before, like in Yoshua.
No? You're going to see that strange story of Moshe at the hotel. For some reason, it's one of the craziest, most difficult stories in Chumash. Why, when Moshe begins his journey back from Midian to Egypt to begin the redemption, Moshe himself has to go through a Brit Milah incident? before he can have, before no, Moshe is going to fulfill Brit Ben Aptarim. Before Moshe can fulfill Brit Ben Aptarim, as Am Yisrael's leader, he has to go through a Brit Milah incident. That doesn't explain everything, but just the overall framework that there's a Brit Milah story before Moshe actually goes and redeems his people. That would be really important. Not to mention that when we leave Egypt, we have to perform Brit Milah before we leave. And that because our national preparation will be Korban Pesach. We'll say Pesach will be related to Brit Ben Aptarim. But before you can bring Korban Pesach, you have to have Brit Milah. So those two mitzvot are going to come up over all the time. And those are the only two mitzvot, remember, that were chayv karet for mitzvah taseh. It's a positive commandment that you're cut off from the covenant. That's not a punishment, it's a consequence. If you have the ability to show your acceptance of a covenant and you don't accept it, de facto, your consequence is you're cut off from the covenant.
It wasn't a Brit Milah for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a Brit Milah for one of his two sons.
I'm saying I didn't say Brit Milah himself, a Brit Milah incident. No, it's Moshe goes through a Brit Milah incident. Which child is it? Who did the cutting? Well, it's complicated, that story. With Tzipora, all I'm saying, without going to the details of the story, is that Moshe on his way back, before he can redeem his people, he goes through a Brit Milah incident. Did you do the right thing, wrong thing? Who's to blame? Look at the Parshanim. I'm just looking at the big picture. Brit Milah and Brit Ben Aptarim go together all the time. Now, and when we leave Egypt, we have the same thing. Now, it's crystal clear. I'll bring more proofs in a minute. It's crystal clear that we need to be religiously ready to conquer the land, to be worthy of it, to keep the Torah. The question is, do we need to be religiously ready to be taken out of Egypt? Understand my question? Okay. And that's going to be a major question we have to deal with. In other words, how much does God expect us to be ready before the redemption or not after the redemption? In other words, is redemption going to be, how much does the story of the Exodus and the miracles relate not just to getting us out of Egypt in a technical sense, but also to our religious preparation? That's going to explain that. That discussion will be really important to understand a lot of events in Sefer Shemot. Now, I want to bring a couple more proofs now about the idea I just told you. And we need to see, I want to prove the word Yerusha. Let me go back and explain why I'm doing this. The word Yerusha was key in Brit Ben Aptarim. That's what my whole point was. What did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay. In the second conversation, I took you out of Or Kasdim to give you this land, the Rishta, right? And Avram asked him, Ki Irashena, and God's answer is, Yodot Teda, the whole 400 years of being in someone else's land and going through oppression and slavery. Now, if I go down now, and see where else we have this, we did say for Yeshua. In the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we have, after we have the summary of all the Masa'ot, to the time we left Egypt until we get to Arbot Moav, after Parshat Maaseh is over and the Masot are finished, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu on Arvot Moav, tell the people that Ber B'nai Yisrael, tell them as follows, Ki atem ovrim et Yarden, as you pass now the Jordan River to take Eretz Canaan, which again, that's going to be, Eretz Canaan is defined in Brit Milah explicitly, but now the two the covenants come together, what are we told? Valrashtem et kol yeshvei aretz. That's Yerusha. You have to conquer all the inhabitants of the land, get rid of their idol worship, etc. Kombatim tashmidu. And then, Vorashtem et ha'aretz. It's your job to conquer the land and to settle it. Again, Ki lechem netati v'taretz l'reshot. I'm giving you the opportunity now to conquer it. Now, how are we going to do it? Does Yeshua sit back and God will conquer it for us? Or does Yeshua have to plan and make the battle plans and God will be with us? And that's going to be a key. That's really a topic in studying. We did this when we studied Sefer Yeshua. It's not Yeshua's job to sit and learn Torah all day long and God will do the battles for us, but rather Yeshua has to plan the battles, except if God will give us, give him a separate, instruction. But Am Yisrael has to take the initiative to conquer the land. God will be there with us and he'll help us conquer the land on the condition that we take the initiative and we keep the Torah and have the right attitude. And then we'll see that all through. And Moshe is going to repeat that many times in Chumash. Now, So we have the same thing in Bamidbar as well with the word Yerusha. Now we need to trace how we go from Breshit to Shemot. In other words, how these covenants in Breshit are going to be formalized. In other words, how we end up in Egypt. So in the end of Sefer Shemot, we focused on the first times that God talked to Avram Avinu, the two conversations and two covenants. We didn't go through every time he talked to Yitzchak and Yaakov. I want to talk about the last time God talks to Yaakov in Sefer Breshit and see what it echoes. Yaakov is on his way to see Yosef. He was invited. He sends the wagons, etc. And then we're told, Vaisaya Yisrael Kosher Lo Vivo Be'er Sheva. Yisrael, the nation, goes on the way down to Egypt, stopping in Be'er Sheva. And he brings Vachim to the God of his father Yitzchak. Famous question of why is Vachim? That's a topic for Parsha Vayigash. Obviously, Yaakov is worried about going down. That's what Rashbam explains beautifully, that he's worried, he's bringing Korbanot to the God of his father Yitzchak. He's worried about whether it's permitted to leave Israel during time of a famine, relating to what Yitzchak wasn't permitted, whether he can. Ramban argues and says, no, it's much deeper. Yaakov realizes this might be the beginning of Brit Ben Abtarim, and therefore he's worried about what's about to befall the people. Is this just a family visit, or is this going to be the beginning of exile? And therefore, according to Ramban, Yaakov was a Kabbalist, and therefore, he needs the Midah of Gvura to survive the Galut, and therefore, the Midah of Yitzchak is Gvura. That's a classic Ramban, Kabbalistic Ramban, to solve a problem in Pshat. Either way, Elohim tells Yisrael in the night vision, V'yomer Yaakov, Yaakov, V'yomer Hineni. This is the last time in Sefer Bereshit that God talks to anybody, and the famous called Yaakov, Yaakov, and he says Hineni. Now, the wordplay between Yisrael and Yaakov is great. In other words, on a natural level, Am Yisrael is going down to Egypt, so God's talking about the Jewish people becoming a nation, therefore God's going to speak to Yisrael. But Yaakov right now is coming down as an individual going to visit his family. So God's opening conversation is done with Yaakov, Yaakov, the person. V'yomri neni, that's always a danger sign in Sefer Bereshit. Okay. Now, what does God tell Yaakov on his way down? V'yomri anochi el Elohei avecha, I'm the God of your father. Al tiram b'edam Yitzrayim ki l'goy gadol asim chasham. Okay, I'm going to stop to share for a minute, but see this phrase, Al tiram b'edam Yitzrayim, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. I'll make you a great nation there. Someone tell me what thematic closure is going on here. Why are these phrases so important? Don't worry. What's God's answer to Yaakov tying together?
In the Brit Ben Habtarim, Hashem said, don't worry.
Exactly. Right? Remember, now when God said that, that was God's opening line. In the very first, we made such a big deal about it. God's opening dialogue with Avram Avinu. We're talking about a dialogue with Avram Avinu. Not just his statement and promise, you'll become a most. God's opening statement to Avram Avinu, begin your journey, Veschalo Goy Gadol. That's his opening destiny statement. In the first dialogue, God said, Al Tira, when it has to do with how the history is going to develop to become a nation. Don't worry. And therefore, those two opening lines, Veschalo Goy Gadol, and Al Tira Avraham, don't worry, Anochim Agen Lach, etc. That'll be the closure of Nevuah and Sefer Bereshit. I just want you to appreciate that from a thematic point of view. How beautiful that comes together. God's opening promise to Avraham Avinu, your destiny is to become a great nation. And then a brief band of Tarim says, don't worry, I'll protect you. That was the first dialogue. And in that dialogue, God promises you'll become a nation, but before you become a nation, you have to go through suffering and slavery, etc. We talked about so many times. And that began with Altira. And those two phrases return in God's last conversation with Yaakov Avinu at the end of Sefer Bereshit. Okay, Altira, okay, from going down to Egypt. Okay, Ki L'goy Gadol Asim Chasham. That's how we're going to fulfill the promise.
How did Yaakov know what God said to Abraham in Brit Ben Abtarim? It makes no sense. You know, that was a conversation between Abraham and God, how would he know that? So the fact that the things are repeated is like for us, not for Abraham Yaakov.
Abraham told that to Yitzhak, Yitzhak told that to Yaakov. Maybe they didn't have Sefer Bereshit, but they knew I'll prove you that in Sefer Shemot, Am Yisrael in Egypt has a family tradition of Brit Milah and Brit Ben Aptarim.
Right.
Because what's Moshe's assumption? When God tells Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush, in Perek Dalet, go tell the people that the God of your ancestors appeared to me, Moshe's assumption is, oh, they know what they're talking about, but what's his name? Meaning, right. is it Shem Elohim or Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei? These two traditions were well known. And therefore, and it only makes sense if this is such a key moment in Avram's life. How could he not tell it to his children? And to his son? By the way, was Avram alive when Yaakov was born?
No.
Do the math. Did Avram ever see Yaakov?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
I'm pretty sure.
I think they were 15 when he passed away.
Yeah.
Rabbi.
I mean, Shem was alive in the time of Avram, but Ever was still alive in the time of Yaakov. We went to yeshiva. Remember that? They're aware of these traditions, for sure. They have to be aware.
Rabbi, Avram has to be alive because when Esav comes back and buys the birthright, doesn't the Midrash say that he's making Yaakov is cooking a meal because Avram has died right then?
Yeah, so that's right. I mean, they're 60s already. They're older already by then. Okay. That's right. That's what Neil just wrote down also. For sure. It's clear that Avram was alive when Yaakov was born, a young child. And there's no reason why Yaakov wouldn't know about his family traditions. They're going to talk about something with their children. If God spoke to them, he telech lefenayv to be, there's a family, remember, Leman Ashir Yitzaved Banav, Veshamru Derech Hashem, he has to command his children to teach their children to follow the ways of God, to do tzedek and mishpat.
Right.
Of course they talk to each other about them. So therefore, okay. God's opening line, don't worry about going down to Egypt, that's good and bad. No, it's good that God's fulfilling his promise. At the personal level for Yaakov, it's a bit scary because Yaakov thought he's just going down for a family visit, and God just told Yaakov, you're in there for a long haul. And that would be exactly the next line. What does God tell him? Anochi eredim cha Mitzrayma, I'm going to go down with you to Egypt. Anochi achal gamalah, I'll take you back up. Yosef yashit yada awinecha. Most parshim understand that Yosef will be there either to take care of you, or he'll close your eyes when you die. Oh, it's like, I didn't share my screen, my mistake. Share screen. Here we are. So God says, I'm going to go down with you, and I'll come up with you. Right? And Yosef will take care of you, meaning either when someone dies, the eyes open up, and therefore Yosef's job will be to close Yaakov's eyes when he dies. That fits nicely in Parshat Vayechid we read last week. He'll be there for your death, but also he might be there when to take care of you. In the Parshanim, you have two directions here. Either way, what God's telling Yaakov Avinu, nice and simple, is you're not coming back. The second God tells Yaakov, don't worry about going down to Egypt because you're going to become a great nation there. That's tying together God's opening promise, that's Chalogoy Gadol, and Brit Ben Aptarim. Because in Brit Ben Aptarim, God said you're going to be in someone else's land. You'll be oppressed and enslaved, and only afterwards you'll get the land. And therefore, it's clear now to Yaakov that this little family visit is not a family visit. There's a master plan going on, as Yosef himself realizes when he talks to his brothers. God's planning something much bigger, and even bigger than Yosef imagined. This is the beginning of Brit Ben Aptarim. Now, and therefore, when God says, I'm going to go down with you, and I'll bring you back, that's why they waited in Egypt until God tells them it's time to come back. In other words, I need this to explain Sefer Shemot, because there's always the famous question, why is it that when the famine's over, why doesn't Yaakov and family go back? So everyone always gives the Teaneck answer, the Five Towns answer, that life was too good. It's always the Zionists like to say, life was so good in Egypt, they should have gone back, but they didn't. But that can't be, because God told Yaakov, go down, and I'll tell you when to come back. And they could have gone back where they went to bury Yaakov, but only they left the women and children behind, not because they're lazy and things were well, because they're not allowed to until God tells them to come back. Now, how bad the oppression needs to be, That's a great question. No, it's saying, how hard this Vavduvi Notam, how hard their slavery has to be, how bad the oppression has to be. It doesn't say Avodat Parak. It doesn't say, you know, it doesn't talk about the boys being thrown, the male children being thrown into the river. That's the question I think a lot of people have talked about. I know Susan talked about it in her Parsha share this week about who's to blame for our Shibud. And that's dual causality. That's a whole standalone topic. We discussed a little bit in Breshit in our series. But the either way, this is the beginning. And therefore, Yaakov and family stays until God tells them to come back. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. And watch how this has to be the beginning of Sefer Shemot. Why? That's God's last words to Yaakov, these two lines. Don't worry about going down to Egypt. I'll make you a great nation there, and Yosef will take care of you. Yaakov gets up from Beersheba, takes the family, remember, and children with the Agalot, and look what this is saying already. Vayichu, is that going to fit or not? It's not going to fit. A mistake. What do they take with them? Vayichu et miknem, vet ruchusham asher rachshu be'erz Kanaan, vayivo mitzrayma b'chol zarito. They take all the rachush with them. What's ironic about that statement? Someone tell me what's ironic about that. They go down with all the rechush, down to Egypt. What's ironic about, as far as Brit Ben Eftim is concerned?
They will leave with rechush gadol.
Exactly. Remember, God said, Bachrechen, you took rechush gadol. They get with rechush, they go down, become slaves, but they end up leaving with great rechush as well. His whole family goes down, Benavu Benatav. And what's my proof that this is the end of Sefer Breshit thematically? Because the next line is, Ve'ilashvot b'neisah by Mitzrayma. That's where Sefer Shemot begins. Now, Sefer Breshit has a lot of closure to do. Yaakov has to bless his children, and we have to see how what happens to Yaakov's family in Egypt, etc., and what happens with the rest of with the burial, etc., of Yaakov. But thematically, Sefer Shemot can begin right here. And therefore, Sefer Shemot picks up with these lines only in chapter 46, and Breshit goes on through chapter 50. Now, one last proof of that at the last lines of Breshit. Let me actually, I didn't put it on the source sheet, but I have it on the open up a Chumash. In chapter 47, where are we? Open up a Chumash real fast. Where's the Chumash? Probably this one here. It's my Chumash? Yeah. Okay. In chapter here, the very end, this is the last two lines of Sefer Shemot, of Sefer Breshit. What's it say? Okay, Yosef tells his brothers, okay, I'm dying, okay? Motei be'Elohim, maybe this bigger. Bigger, here we go. Okay. Yosef tells his brothers, Onochi meit, be'Elohim pakod yivkod etchem. God will remember you. And when he does that, be'Ela etchem min ha'aretz hazot, he'll take you out of this land, to the land which he promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, we'll see in a minute how Yosef knows this. But Yosef's last words, or the last words in Sefer Breshit that Yosef says, he's telling his family, and hence the Jewish people, he's a leader, that God's going to tell you when to come back. Now, that doesn't mean Yosef isn't talking about slavery. He says, God will tell you, he'll remember like Hashem Pakad at Sarah, he'll come to fulfill his promise and tell you when to come back. He didn't say about suffering yet. But when you do come back, make sure to take my bones with you. Okay? He makes them swear, okay? Because when God remembers you, take my bones with you. Remember when Moshe leaves Egypt, in the beginning of Parsha B'Shalach, Moshe takes Yosef's bones with him, okay? Then Yosef dies, 110, and that's the end of Sefer Breshit. Just for the fun of it, who else lives to 110 in Tanakh? Anyone know?
Yoshua.
Exactly. Yoshua ends in, and he's going to be in charge of burying Yoshua, Yosef's bones. Now, I think that's the end of Sefer Yoshua. We find that out. Now, how does Yosef know this? If I go back, I think it's chapter 47, if that's 48. 48. We had this in Vayechi, after Hamalach HaGol, etc. After Yosef, is told by Yaakov on his deathbed, Yaakov tells Yosef, your two sons are be two tribes, since you're the Bechor, they're included, even though they were born in Egypt. They're part of Am Yisrael, my name will be associated with them, never be Kerubim Shmi, and there'll be two tribes, and you're the Bechor, etc. And then, what's Yaakov's last words? I'm sorry. The last words of Yaakov to Yosef are the following. Vayomer Yosef, Yisrael Yosef, Hinei Anochi Met. Same thing that, notice that's exactly what Yaakov, that's exactly what Yosef tells his brothers before he dies. So Yisrael tells Yosef, I'm dying. Vayah Elohim Imachem, God will be with you. Remember, Liot Lachad Elohim? Remember, girl, Brit Milah? Veshiv Etchem El Savotechem. And he'll tell you when to come back to your land. It was Yosef, Yisrael has this nevuah before he goes down to Egypt. That, stay there, I'll bring you back. The last thing Yisrael, before he dies, tells Yosef is, I'm dying, but God will tell you when to come back. And when you do come back, you get that double portion from your brethren. What this referring to is that the city of Shechem or something in the future, that's Machloket Parshanim. And then Yosef, I'll go back down to the end of chapter 50, like we saw before, Yosef takes the same message and tells his brethren, Onochim Met, remember? I'm dying, just like Yaakov, just like Yisrael told Yosef. And God will remind you, remember the phrase, Pakod Yifkod Elohim Etchem, God will remember and tell you when to come back. Now, what's important is that the people are waiting for God to them to come back. How will Brit Ben Tarim fulfill itself? In other words, how will the slavery begin? To what degree are they going to be enslaved? How much they have to suffer? That we'll talk about in not this week's show, already next week's show. Now, let's go back to our source sheet and stop the share. Where are we? Here we are. Share and back to here. Okay. Let's take a look. Remember, that was the last prophecy of Sefer Bereshit. Let's look at the first prophecy of Sefer Shemot. And sure enough, like it's almost obvious what's going to happen. Remember, I skipped opening lines, but God sees Moshe as inquisitive. Vayar Hashem kisar lirot. Vayikra ilav Elohim betoch hasneh. Elohim calls Moshe from the sneh. Vayomer Moshe Moshe vayomer hineni. Remember, the last nevuah of Bereshit was Yaakov Yaakov vayomer hineni. The first nevuah of Sefer, the first revelation in Sefer Shemot is Moshe Moshe v'yomer hineni. I'm showing there's a theme that's highlighting a thematic connection between Bereshit and Shemot. Okay. Now, the first thing he gets Moshe Rabbeinu's attention, so we can skip all that. You can basically take your sandals off. The land is Amdat Kodesh. He identifies himself. This is the first time that God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, but clearly Moshe must know about Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov and their connection to God, because how does God identify himself as Anochi Elohei Avicha, Elohei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Okay. And Moshe's aghast, remember, and he hides himself. He's scared. And then God now is going to give him his information. Listen to what God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu. This is, notice, after identifying himself, Pasuk Zion is the opening line. V'yomer Hashem, notice the guy's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay. Ro'ol ra'iti et oni ami Asher b'Mitzrayim. I've seen the suffering of my people in Egypt. V'etzaketam shomati mibnei noksav ki yadati et machovav. Okay. Now, what? I mean, I give it away here. This actually should be green also. But what's the giveaway? This is Brit Ben Abtarim. What's God saying? I've seen the suffering. Remember, Vabdu Vinu Otam. I see the suffering of my people in Egypt. Beres Lo Lahem. I heard their cry. Okay. Ki Adati Et Machovav. That's like beautiful wordplay. And it's God's identifying with their pain. Remember, Avram asked Bamaida and Yodoteda. I think it's like alluding to that. It has a different meaning there, but I think it's alluding to B'maidan and Yodoteda. Okay? And then, B'reid Latzilom Yamitzrayim, I'm going down now. Remember, what did God say? Onochi Eredim Cha Mitzrayim, Onochi Alecha Gamalo. Now the flip side. I'm going down now, God's saying, to take them out of Egypt, to bring them to the land of Canaan, Eretz Tovah V'Canaan, and where are the borders? Not just Canaan, but Canaani, Achiti, Amori, Aprizi, Achivu V'si, those are all the seven nations that we had of the ten nations in Brit Ben Abtarim. Okay, now. So that's going to be the beginning of Shemot, and you see the beautiful parallel between the end of Bereshit and the beginning of Sefer Shemot. And we see that Moshe must be aware of God's names, and as I'll continue. Now, Moshe is going to ask some questions about what's God. They'll ask what God's name is. We'll deal with that next week. But let me just skip, get this in a minute. Wait a second. I didn't put the other. I'm sorry, here. I'm missing one more line here. Make this smaller. I know what happened. Okay. Now, where are we? Here we go. Back up to here. I lost my screen. I don't have my... Okay, here. That was God to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then later in Moshe, in Pesach Tetzayin, okay, what's God telling? Lech v'sap t'zikne Yisrael. Gather the elders of Israel and tell them, Hashem Elokei Avotechem Narayla, Hashem, the God of your ancestors, appeared to me. This is what Moshe has to tell the elders of Israel to be ratified as their leader. The God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Here's the key word. Pokot pakadeti etchem. That takes us back to the end of Sefer Bereshit. Remember? Pokot pakot alim etchem. Et asu etchem b'mitzrayim. It's not just simanim, like Chazal say. It's mamish the words. Ms. Am Yisrael has a mesorah, a brit milah, brit ben avtarim. They have a mesorah of pokot pakot alim etchem. And now they're waiting for this to happen. Now they become a goy gadol. And Moses' first message to the people is going to be, God's coming to fulfill the promise you've heard of. We've had the family tradition for decades, it's been for over a century. Now it's coming true. Again, Va'amar, alet chem again mi'oni Mitzrayim. I'm coming to take you up from my oppression in Egypt to the land of the seven nations. And again, the theme of Eretz Zavat Chalavdash begins here for the first time. We'll deal with that later. Now, was there any other time where God says, I'm coming down? We're in Sefer Bereshit. Did God ever come down?
Yigdal Bavel.
Remember, God comes down to check out. Any other time?
Sdom.
Sdom.
Yeah.
If we have time, maybe when we do Shemot, we'll see all the parallels between what happened in Sdom, what's going to happen in Egypt. Not just eating matzah, that'll be a connection. Now, we discussed a little bit. We'll start a discussion. We'll have to go through this next week. The question is, do we need to be worthy of redemption? How much, when we talk about Brit Ben Avtarim, we said we'll end with this. We'll start a discussion next week. Brit Ben Avtarim sounds like a one-way promise. So it's God's promising to watch our history, to redeem us when we get into trouble. He's also promised to put us into trouble, to take us out of trouble. But it doesn't seem like there's anything we have to do to be worthy of that redemption. And that's the question, how much is Am Yisrael's responsibility in Brit Ben Avtarim? Now, as far as being worthy of conquering the land, on the second stage of Brit Ben Avtarim, it's not getting out of Egypt, but as far as conquering the land, I want to end this year in showing you, in Sefer Dvarim, that it's crystal clear that to be able to be worthy of God's help in Yerusha, remember the key word Yerusha? The prerequisite is readiness to keep the laws. Just a couple lines from Sefer Dvarim, in the end of the first speech, in chapter 4. Vata Yisrael, Shema l'chukim al mishpatim. Moshe is about to teach all these chukim and mishpatim, all these laws, which I'm teaching you today. L'asot, l'man tichyu, uvateb yishtebet aretz. If you want to conquer the land, you have to understand and be willing and ready to keep these chukim mishpatim from Har Sinai. He tells them later in the speech, in Perachet. Kol ha-mitzvah, this whole commandment, which I'm commanding you today, make sure to keep them. L'man tichyu nirvitem. You want to come and conquer the land? See the word Yerusha? Also, I'm showing you that Yerusha and commitment to Torah mitzvot goes hand in hand. We can't get away from that. Even though in Bereshit, Brit Ben Avtarim seems to be one-sided, when I put Brit Ben Avtarim together with Brit Milah, which Chumash, which Sefer Shmot is going to be doing at the burning bush, when I combine them together, it's clear that our responsibility in Brit Ben Avtarim, it's God will redeem us and help us conquer the land, but it has to go hand in hand with our commitment to keep his Torah and understand our destiny. Again, because God's not giving us the land, he's giving us the destiny, and the land's going to be, again, the tool through which will facilitate becoming a nation that can represent God. Okay? Later, after the Shema, after Vayim Shemoah, L'man Yibui Mechem, that's like, Kim Yishor Tishmurun, this is in Parshat Ekev, right after the second Parshat of Kriyat Shema. Keep this entire commandment, which I'm commanding you today, to love God, to follow his ways, lecha bidrachav. Then, Bahorish Hashem et kol gam elev bifnechem. God will help you conquer all the nations in front of you, even though they're greater than you, etc. And we saw before, like your son Yeshua, wherever you go, I'll be there, all the way to Nahar Prat, from Nahar Mitzrayim to Nahar Prat. All that. Again, God's not promising, I'll do it for you, I'll do it with you, because you have to walk, you have to go there. I'll be there. On what condition will I help you conquer the land? If you keep my mitzvot.
Yes, but you are in Sefer Dvarim now. Go back to Mitzrayim. They didn't have Sefer Dvarim.
Exactly. I'm working backwards. I'm saying is, there's no doubt Brit Ben Avtarim is going to require readiness to keep the mitzvot, to be God's people, to be worthy of God's help conquering the land. In other words, the last stage of Brit Ben Haptarim requires dedication to mitzvot. The question that we have to discuss next week, which is key to understanding Sefer Shemot, is going to be how ready do we need to be to get out of Egypt in the first place? Now, let me explain why this is important. Who's heard about Midrashim about the 49 levels of Tumah we were in? Remember Mepetet Shari Tumah? That's a classic, isn't it? We'll see where it's coming from next week.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to, let's go back to the front of the source sheet, which I skipped before. And watch what happened here. Oh, wrong source sheet. We'll do this next week properly and see where it's coming from. But if I go back, it's after the burning bush, Moshe goes to Pharaoh and things get worse instead of getting better. And we have, Moshe asks the question, what's going on? God tells Moshe the following famous lines, right? Make it smaller. Okay. Lechein amor, God tells Moshe, go tell Bnei Yisrael, ani Hashem. Remember this phrase? And then I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'll bring you to Har Sinai. You become my nation there. Then you know I'm the guy who took you out of Egypt. Then I'll bring you to land, which I wanted to give you. And it'll be your Moshe. And then Ani Hashem. Notice Ani Hashem and Ani Hashem begin and end this. Now, who remembers the next line in Chumash? Moshe is supposed to tell this to Bnei Yisrael. What do they say? Moshe tells them, okay. Vaydaber Moshe chena Bnei Yisrael. Remember, v'lot shemoya Moshe. They didn't hear. We'll start here next week. But this phrase, Ani Hashem, is going to be the key for the rest of Chumash. I'll just end because I have to finish early today. Or I'll finish on time, actually. Ani Hashem, I want to show you next week, we have to prove it, is going to be a way of life. In other words, Ani Hashem is not it's not intellectual knowledge that God exists. Ani Hashem, I want to prove to you in Chumash, is going to be a way of life. It's moving into what I call employee mode. It's the core understanding, which I think is the Rambam's first, to know God, I think that's the Rambam's first mitzvah in the biblical sense. We have to have out the word to know. I think it's not by chance the Rambam uses that in the beginning. Not to know intellectually who God is, with deductive reasoning, but to know and understand your relationship with God and what it means to be chosen. And what it means to be, it's being in, again, and I'm going to talk about this all the time, being in employee mode as opposed to consumer mode. If the land of Israel is a gift from God, oh, he promised it to us, oh, we own it now, that's consumer mode. If God gave us a destiny and the land of Israel is a vehicle through which we fulfill our goal, then we're in employee mode and the land is great, but we have to be deserving of it. That frame of mind, it changes the way you behave and what you do. It's not a little technical difference. It's a fundamental difference about your whole life as a Jew. It'll explain what the Mikdash is about, what the Tefillah is about. But the idea of Ani Hashem is going to be key. It's going to be the mega theme of Chumash. I'll just end with the famous line. Moshe at the burning bush is going to get two jobs. One job will be take the Jews out of Egypt, which he thought was difficult. That was a piece of cake because God's going to help him. The second job is getting Egypt out of the Jews. That's going on to this day. That he never he never gets that job done either, unfortunately. I would say he tries his best, he does well, he gets started. But getting Egypt out of the Jews is much harder than getting the Jews out of Egypt. And we'll see that theme in Bereshit. But remember that phrase, Ani Hashem. Remember God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Brit Ben Haptarim? I want to show you how, again, Brit Ben Haptarim, when you first read it, sounds very cryptic. What's going on? I want to show you it's going to become the key to understanding the rest of Chumash. Har Sinai, what happens, conquering the land. Not to mention how it's going to be critical to understanding the Magid. Now, besides the fact that Shemot is the book after Bereshit, so it makes sense to go here now, and we're doing themes, it just so happens that the next 2 months are right before Passover. So as a aside, we'll see the as we learn Shemot and we get out of it, we'll see the story. It'll help us understand all the laws of Passover, especially what we do in Magid. And on the way there, we'll have 2 weeks sort of as an aside, how all this will explain what happens in Megillat Esther as well, because I want to, it's seasonal. Again, the topic won't be Megillat Esther, the topic will be Sefer Shemot. But as we're doing Shemot, it'll help us understand what's unique, what's special about about Purim and Esther, and what's special about Magid and Agada. Okay, I have 1 minute for 2 minutes maybe for real important questions or something critical. The rest I'll get next week. Let's take a look. Sources are there. Chat. Jay, was anything in the chat that's important?
I'm just looking now. No.
Sources. Okay, we saw that before. Okay, yeah, Bilal Korban Pesach. We'll see that a lot. Okay, and then we'll get the Zot Kuchet HaPesach. We'll get our state. Now, again, most of us are familiar with Sefer Shemot and the stories. I'm not going to do, I'm assuming you know the stories in Shemot. We're going to frame them. We're going to come from, based on what we saw in Sefer Bereshit, we're going to use that to explain the problematic things coming on in Shemot. Like all these questions, most asking, what's God's name? And why does God say, yeah, sure, yeah? See an awesome Rosh Bam on that. What's Moshe's job and why? Again, how the story of coming out of Egypt relates not just getting Israel out of Egypt, but getting Israel ready to be God's people. How explains Korban Pesach? Hopefully, everything will make sense. Or will maybe not perfect sense, but it'll make more sense. Hopefully, than I hope to be able to add a little insights into all the things we're familiar with. Okay, I'm gonna hang up.
Go. Rishat Tova, any babies born during the shear?
No. My son's on the way to the hospital. I'm babysitting now.
Yeah, I know, but I just, okay. All right, Rishat Tova. Okay, everybody. Dr. Gesundheit Yavir Shir Shalom B'Ivrit of Sefer Tehillim. That's at 1 o'clock. And if you didn't understand it, you probably don't want to go to the shir. And then tomorrow, Mark Shapiro will be back. He was away last week. I mean, and he's going to do 2 more weeks on Shmuel Moliver before he moves to his new series on the Langer case. That'll be in a couple weeks, but we'll wrap up. And then we have on Tuesday, of course, is Rabbi Shulman. Wednesday, Zev Elif. We're starting his new series on Adventures in American Judaism, a 10-part series. Take a look at the website. I'll send them a very interesting topics. And then Thursday, Shuli Mishkin will begin her new series. And, of course, a regular Parsha Shear, Siddur Shear, et cetera. And Rabbi Helfgott Wednesday night. We look forward to learning with you. And bring a friend, as I say, okay? I'm going to have to, you know, you're going to have to tell me. I'm going to ask people for the email which friend they invited to come. You know, we have to keep track of this. So I know you're doing your homework. That's your, as I say, that's the cost of admission. And otherwise, you know, if you want to pay real cost, that's also fine. But anyways, okay, everybody have a great day. Was your good? Anybody in California here, by the way? I mean, it's really terrible what's going on. I don't know any. Gershon, what? How's it going in L.A.? I think Gershon, you live in L.A. I'm sorry?
It's not good in L.A.
I know it's not good. Is it impacting where you live or
not our particular home? It isn't, but it's not too far away.
Right. I guess I imagine nothing is too far away. No, we should hear good news. It's really I don't know what to say, but it's really unbelievable. You see the picture, so we should hope.
Maybe three Chabad rabbis in Pacific Palisades lost their homes.
Right, I heard a number of rabbis lost their homes, and they're going to get sefer Torah again.
But their shuls did not burn.
Shuls are, yeah. Okay, all right, at least that. But, okay, we hope it rains. I don't know what to say, but at least and they can get it under control. Okay, everybody, we all Shavua Tov, and all the best. Look forward to learning with you soon.
Happy Gingy Day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes, that's a special day in our family. Okay. All right. I don't know how you can tell, like online, if you can look, but anyways, yes. Yes. That's, thank you. Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. My cousin remembers when he, growing up, remembers you as a little redheaded terror running around.
Oh, yeah, you're going to talk. The people who knew me growing up in Toronto, yeah, they can't believe what, yes, correct. I was not, I didn't sit still. Let's put it that way. Yes, I had a reputation of a little bit of a, yes. Okay, that's good. That's good. As long as I can channel my energy for positive purposes, we're okay. But yes, I had flaming red hair. Now I only have like, you know, the red is not quite the same, but it's there. My kids, look at my kids. Okay. All right, everybody, be well. We should hear good things and all the best.